belongs to the art. It's better than yours. Well, you bet sleep in me. It's better than yours. I can teach you. But I have to charge. No, you want it. Want me to teach the technique? Ooh, technique. It's about whatever you want. Technique. That brings these boys look happy, boy. Just not Things get caught. I watch if you're smart.
Well, hey guys, welcome to a second episode of Just for Funny. Thanks for coming back. If you came back, thanks for tuning in. If this is your first episode, we really appreciate it. My dear, you are listening to Clara Cupcakes doing a version of Milkshake. The reason I put this one in seemed pretty logical. We talk about Clara in the episode, and I do specifically mention this version of Cupcakes. I just wanted you to be able to hear it, although it is best if you see what she's doing. So you can find that online. If you Google Clara Cupcakes, you'll be able to find a bunch of videos of her. She's very funny. Burlesque performer. I think I described her as cabaret performer in the episode, but she's actually a burlesque performer. So I just wanted to clear that up before I got any angry tweets or emails or anything like that. I don't really have anything to plug, unfortunately. I've been a bit slack, and I've been, because of fringe prep, I haven't really put any time into booking a lot of gigs, so I'm just working on that at the moment. But find me online at Matt Harvey Stuff, or Matt Harvey Stuff on Facebook or anything like that, and when gigs do pop up, you'll see them there. Alright, let's get into it. Enjoy the episode. So funny the shit out of this. I don't know, let's talk, let's chat neatly about comedy.
Yep.
So, Fringe just finished, and I wanted to dedicate this top end, maybe not the entire top end, but at least a part of the top end, just talking about the festival, talking about things that I saw, things that I thought were good, things that I know are good, didn't see in the festival, but because I've seen them, I can speak well of them.
Yeah.
And just put those recommendations out there, put those names out there, and then maybe when Comedy Festival rolls around next year, people will know those names.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe go and support them a little bit.
Cool.
And some good stuff. I mean, I didn't see as much as I would have liked, especially given that I was performing only the one evening. Yeah. So it's not like I was tied down to a lot of commitments, but there was sold out shows and work.
Yeah.
I always had to work around work.
Yeah.
So a few things that I tried to get into were sold out.
Oh, well, and that's good.
Yeah, which is great for the artists.
Yeah.
So I do not begrudge any artist a sold out show.
Yeah.
Even if it means I'm not part of that.
That's good. Who was sold out?
Luca Muller was sold out.
Oh, awesome.
And there was a couple of like performance ones that were sold out. And there was a few that I heard good things about that I couldn't get to because of work.
Yeah.
So like Saturation, I heard did really well. I heard good things about Lauren Bock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did really well, but I couldn't make it around a couple of nights.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. But I've got a small list of shows that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go through them.
Yeah. I didn't get to any by yours.
Any. Bar mine, which is thanks. But you might know, you might know some of these performers. Mm-hmm. They're not all stand-ups. I do try and stretch myself out a little bit when I'm doing Fringe. Try to see stuff that sounds interesting. So by that, I saw a couple of cabaret performers. And like I said, I tried to see some performance stuff. And I saw a couple of game showy type shows, which were fun, which were a lot of fun.
Cool.
So I saw Luke Ryan, and I think you're familiar with Luke Ryan. Yep. His show was called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Chemo. It's based on his experiences and his book about getting chemo, well, getting cancer twice.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Yeah. So it's a pretty dark subject matter, but he carries it delightfully.
Yeah.
It is sort of a treat sitting through the worst thing that's probably ever going to happen to him.
Yeah.
And just hearing him recall the events and all the sort of quirky stuff that happened around his chemotherapy and all this sort of stuff. It was actually a really fun hour.
Yeah, he's a very good audience.
Mm. Just talking about sadness, I don't know. Being funny, I guess. Very good at being funny.
Yeah. he's very good at what he does, as in bumming you out. He's very good at what he does, as in he's a very funny man.
Yeah.
Very smart.
There's a show that's been floating around. It's done a couple of festivals now, but in different iterations, and it's called Facty Fact. Dave Warnicki is the host of that, and it's a quiz, so it's usually two teams of comedians. He's got a YouTube channel that's through, or he's got a YouTube show version of it, which is through Stupid Old Channel.
Okay.
And it's usually two teams of comedians. And he just sort of throws questions at them in typical game show format. But they're pretty fun topics. Like, so he's a pretty small guy, like very thin. And so one of the topics is like, does this thing weigh more or less or the same as him?
That's mad.
So it's, you know, fun versions of games that we're sort of familiar with.
Yeah.
And it's really...
Who's yet on it? Anyone we know? How long has he been doing it?
A couple of years.
Oh, okay. So he's had everyone on it.
Yeah. I've seen a good range of guests. Okay. And the write-up in his thing this year was like, it's had people like Dave Kellen and Ronnie Chang
You know,
Andrew McClelland and all that sort of stuff. So this is a good range. And cool. The show I saw this year had, who was on? Angus Hodge and Andrew McClelland and... Damien Callinan.
Ah, Damien Callinan. Yeah. Awesome. Yep.
Who was actually in the next show that I saw as well. So it's finished now. I don't know why he's finishing it. Maybe time commitments or whatever. Not Facty Fact, the next one. But this guy, Paul Culliver.
Okay.
Who started a little game show podcast called Paul Culliver Controls the Media.
Okay.
And according to his social media, it was like an 8-thing experiment, and he's ending it now.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't know why. It was really fun. It was a lot of fun to do. And I saw one of them from this festival. There was only two. And it was a lot of fun to sort of sit in the audience and just watch, because it's all stuff about the news. It's all games about the news. And he had, who did he have? Alice Frazier and Dave Callan, Damien Callanan. Somebody else. I forget who the other person was.
Cool.
But it was a little fun to sort of just sit in, see that.
So what, you saw the last one?
No, I saw the second last one.
Okay.
Yep. He had one more after that.
Okay.
Maybe he'll bring it back at some point.
Yep.
It is on iTunes for anyone else who's interested in checking it out. They're pretty fun.
Okay.
Pretty fun. They go for like an hour. So I would recommend those. I've enjoyed listening to them. I don't mind the odd... game show podcast.
Yeah.
Good to kill the trip to work.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds pretty fun.
Mm. Who else? I saw Laura Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Her new show, Ghost Machine.
Ghost Machine. That's mad.
It was fantastic, as always. She's such a strong performer.
Yeah.
And her concepts are really highbrow, but very... approachable, very relatable.
Yeah.
She does, like, all the stuff that I've seen her do. I've seen a couple of her shows now. She often sort of talks about the grander version of the universe and different elements of physics and the micro universe, and sort of brings it back to her life and brings it back to what she's sort of going through. And for this one, it was, she's just moved to Melbourne and it's sort of self-discovery and
yep.
going through a bunch of events with relation to stuff that happened to her childhood and loneliness and
yep.
all this sort of, you know, existential stuff.
Yep.
But she sort of ties all these grander ideas into the narrative, and it's very funny.
Okay.
It's like quite... I didn't know going into her the first time I saw her that it would be so cerebral.
Okay.
And it was really a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
But she's got a good following. Yeah. Shows always seem to be full.
Yeah. Well, I know her. Yeah. And I'm not really in the scene. Yep.
But she was great.
Yep.
Lay out all the stand-ups and then we'll get into non-stand-up stuff. So mm-hmm. there was a show called Hey Grandpa.
Okay.
Which was just a showcase. So Sean Bedlam ran the showcase and he would come out. He'd do his bit at the top. He'd do in between there'd be two performers each night. And it was sold as anything goes.
Okay.
Whatever the performers want to bring in is okay.
Okay.
So it was sold as an edgy show. It was on late. It was like 10:45 or something like yep. that. 9:45, whatever. Quite late for the venue that it was in. It was okay. like the last show of the night.
Yep.
But it was good. Yep. Like the night that I saw wasn't particularly edgy.
Yeah.
It was like Pete Jones and Angus Hodge, and they're not the darkest comedians.
Yep.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
It was interesting seeing Sean do a longer set because I've seen Sean around and I've seen him do his 5 minutes right. here and there. And it's just nice to see comedians who are good at what they do in a longer format, just see what they come up with. And it was a pretty strong.
And was that his show?
Well, I mean, yeah, he was sort of the master of it. He orchestrated it all. Yep. And that's what the concept of the show was. It was okay. He presents.
Yeah, right. That's cool.
So a girl from Sydney, who I have to check her name, but Lawani Armin.
Mm-hmm.
And her show, I didn't know about until I arrived at the venue. And the girl on the door sold me on it.
Okay.
So big ups.
Big ups to her. Yeah.
If you're listening, Lawani, good venue.
Good venue. You had good people.
Yeah. Yeah. People selling you quite well.
Yeah.
And it was called Period. And it was exactly what it sounds. It was all about the period.
Okay.
But it was really funny.
It was a period piece.
It was a period piece. Yeah. Very funny. It was sort of, I don't know. I mean, the girl on the door sold it as sort of like breaking the stereotype that females aren't funny and that you can't talk about. You can't mm-hmm. do
yeah, good.
Period jokes, which is, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Like, show me.
Yeah.
Because that's fine. I'm okay with that as a concept. If
when done well, I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah.
And it was. It was very funny.
That's good.
She was a strong performer and she carried the material with a lightness and a sort of humor that I really enjoyed.
That's cool.
Even though I've never had a period and could potentially have not related to an entire show about
them. Yeah, exactly. Right. But it was still funny. That's good.
But yeah, I got where she was coming from. And that was all the stand-ups I managed to squeeze in.
Yeah.
The rest were sort of non, like, Yana Alana. So Yana Alana. Do you know Yana?
No.
She's a cabaret performer.
Okay.
She's quite big, touring. But this was all covers, so there was nothing original.
Okay.
Which was fine. Because she did it in her own way. It was quite a fun show, high energy.
Yeah.
In the, That main room in the Lithuanian club, like big, however many hundred seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like way, way up in the nosebleed section because I was relegated to the back with the artists. But you could feel her presence in that room.
That's good.
It was really strong. But it was fun. It was just, you know, doing covers of songs. So it was hard not to like.
Yeah. Like, but if she does them well, she does them well.
Yeah. But she's done conceptually interesting stuff in the past. She was talking about having just finished a tour where she was naked on stage and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And
yeah. I want to see that tour.
Well, get yourself a time machine. Come back. And so she was, because it's covered, it's all about covers. And she was like, it's nice to be wearing clothes again. And yeah, that sort of stuff. Fun. Witty banter.
Witty banter. Covers. Covered.
Yeah. And Clara Cupcakes her show was The Merchant of Whimsy, which really took me by surprise. I had seen her on Bowen. She performed on Bowen.
Okay.
But I really didn't know what to expect. So I sort of knew she did some musical stuff and she was in cabaret as a section. But it was such a fun show. Because the simple concept was, it was like a... She's a whimsical person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a manic pixie girl.
Yeah.
You know, that type of... And it was about how that's okay. And the audience was supposed to be like a Whimsical Adults Anonymous group. And we were having a meeting.
Okay.
And she was sort of like leading us through why it's okay. There's like five stages of whimsy. And so that was the breakdown of the show. We'd go through each of the stages. And that's her being whimsical.
Yeah.
For an hour. And it was incredible. It was really incredible.
With song and stuff, obviously.
Yeah, varying methods. Someone was just straight up miming, and like she did a couple of songs. She did Milkshakes, Felice.
Milkshake?
Yeah, Milkshake. She got like a bunch of guys up on stage with her to do that. It was really funny.
That's cool.
Yeah, there was song and there was performance, and just her energy was incredible.
Awesome.
Like, I think my favorite bit was watching her. Denial was one of the stages, and she's doing all these hula hoop tricks, and every time she'd fuck up, she would give a present to someone in the audience, and the present was a Nerf gun, and they had to empty all the bullets into her.
Oh wow, that's sick.
So she had a helmet on, and it slowly broke down that she was like, oops, I fucked up again. Someone's going to have to shoot me. She went from not liking it to forcing it. But it was so funny.
That's good.
And people would miss her because they were like, she's yelling at them to shoot her. And they'd miss, and she'd be like, it's all in her face. Performative. It was a really good show.
That's mad.
The last two, not anything like the other ones. So this girl, Rowena Hudson, who I know did a show last year that I didn't see, but apparently this is her first show sort of as herself, not as a character. Okay. She's a performer, and she was in the comedy section, and it was called Strong Female Character.
Okay.
And it was really, so very personal.
Yeah.
So she's just talking about stuff that has happened in her life and relating it to the movies that she watched growing up. So like Die Hard and like these characters, these strong.
Yeah, strong male characters. Yeah.
And so how they've influenced her life and how they've influenced her decisions and how she sees herself as a woman and all this sort of stuff. Highly recommend.
Yeah,
if she rolls it around again, if it comes back for any of the festivals, get on it.
Yeah.
Hopefully if she does come back, she'll get a bigger room and just pack it.
That sounds good.
Because it was great.
Yeah.
And this last one was a woman named Queenie Bonbon, who I don't know if she's released a book. I got the sense that she'd released a book.
Okay.
But she is a former adult worker.
Okay.
In a few capacities. Stripper at one point.
Yeah.
Prostitute.
Yeah.
And she's like, it was just recounting humorous anecdotes from her life.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting show.
What was the show called?
It's called Powered Up.
Powered Up? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure why.
Okay.
I mean, there's a couple of reasons you could apply it if you wanted to break it down. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It was like not very performative.
Yeah.
It was just her sort of reading. She had some slides.
Yeah.
But it was interesting.
That's cool. Where was that?
That was down in Hares and Hyenas, which is a bookstore.
Yeah, I know.
You know it?
Yeah. High Street.
Yeah. So we had to shoot down there.
Okay.
But that was interesting. It was really interesting. Way to spend however long it went for. 60 minutes, 80 minutes, whatever. Okay. I like Fringe. Fringe is good for that.
Yeah, Fringe is good for the fun stuff. Yeah, for the out-of-the-box stuff.
We always squeeze a couple of sneaky shows in, and that's, I feel, why it was a good home for my show this year.
Yeah.
Which is conceptually different from anything I've done before.
Yeah.
But no, that's unfortunately the crux of my Fringe experience this year. It was a really small list. I'm happy.
But yeah. But you know, you got to work around work and stuff like that. So
yeah.
You can see what you see. But that's good. I mean, in years past, we've gone ham and just gone see so much stuff.
Smashed out a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
Nights, just nights and nights of rolling into one, performers and jokes. And you're like, was that their joke?
Yeah, sure, man. Was this? That's a bit. You're like, oh, I like this joke from the festival. Who was that?
But no, it was good because there was a few that I wanted to see who, I guess I've said already, but they were, I heard good things.
Yeah.
And so hopefully they'll roll those around again at some point and I'll be able to check it out. Like, you know, in this year's comedy festival, I saw Alice Frazier and I saw Corey White and they did both. They did the same show again. They rolled it back through into this festival. So I didn't need to see them again.
That's right. Yeah.
But those are really strong shows. And, yeah. You know, Corey's been touring. He just got back from Edinburgh. He's done all the festivals around Australia. And
cool.
He's kind of kicking it in the dick a bit with that because it's a really strong show. And Alice, she just came back from Edinburgh as well.
Okay.
And from what I can pick up on social media, it sounds like she did really well.
Okay.
And if you get a chance, go see either of those because they're really strong. Both dealing with dark subjects, like Corey's show is all about his life growing up in the foster care system and his time with drugs and all this sort of stuff. And Alice's show centers around her mother passing away.
Okay.
But they both just do those subjects the most justice that you could.
Awesome. When done well, though, you know, it's always good.
Mm.
Cool. Yeah. It sounds like the Fringe is picking up as far as people's awareness of it and things like that go, too.
So. Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, there have been years where, and it's still sort of, there's just, they don't put enough into their own promotion of it. Like, you see the other festivals, the Melbourne Festival already has flags in the city.
I'm sure there's a budget difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Amazing. But, you know, the amount of performers that are going into Fringe every year.
Yeah.
Like, even just seeing the booklets, you have to look so hard to find one of those booklets.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who know us, know of Fringe through us.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that I speak to, I'm like, I'm doing Fringe this year. What's that?
What's Fringe? Okay. I think that's lessening, though. I think as I'm saying it now, like, Maddie's doing a Fringe show, there's less people who go, what the hell's that? So I think that's changing. But yeah, they could always do more.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's interesting because, like, Edinburgh Fringe and Adelaide Fringe are the two biggest Fringe
festivals. They're storied as well, like, there's history and stuff.
Of course, so. But the Fringe has been around for...
That's true. Our Fringe is pretty old, too.
Like 30 years or something like that.
Mm.
Probably more. I'm sure if it was their 30th year this year, they'd have said something.
Anniversary, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. That's good. It's not like I'm going to stop going there.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's right.
And it's full of potential.
Mm. And the diversity is good too.
Mm. Mm. It's interesting to see what people come up with. And they know they can have a bit of fun. Fuck around a little bit.
Yeah, they can play around, yeah.
Mm.
That's mad. And your show was very good.
Thank you.
I'll do a review of your show. Maddie's show was mad. It was, we know what it's about. It's about it being 2015 and all the promises that pop culture promised us about future stuff coming to fruition, and it was very well researched, and he did a little slideshow with it that was always entertaining and funny and interesting, and a lot of work was, you could see the work that had been put into it from watching it. It was thorough and entertaining, and he did it well.
Yay.
So if you see Maddie's putting on a show next time, go see it. Well worth it.
Get down there, fuckers.
Shut up and give him your money.
That's my motto. Just a few quick things before we get into playing what we brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read this story about Doug Stanhope? That he helped save a guy from committing suicide?
No.
It's amazing.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Like, actually, or just because the guy listened to his stand-up?
Yeah, no, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. It was at Edinburgh.
Okay.
And he was coming out of a bar drunk, and this dude was, from what I remember, he was arguing with a woman. He started to climb up on the bridge, and Doug Stanhope and one other dude like pulled him down and restrained him and held him down on the ground and like stopped him from killing himself.
Jeepers.
Mm. So there's this big write-up about it. And he did like an interview where it was like, it's fine. Like, I'm not a hero.
Yeah, of course. It's just what everyone else would do. Yeah, yeah. But that's pretty cool. Stuff seems to happen like like, that never happens to me, but stuff seems to happen to this guy all the time.
I guess, good. You know, when you're traveling about drinking, you open yourself to
adventure. Fair enough. Nothing's going to happen in my house in Mount. I'm just chilling. That's fair enough. Cool. No, I didn't hear that. That's a cool story.
Mm. No, I expect it'll end up as a bit at some point.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Just knowing his history.
Yeah.
And just based on, you know, the bit that I played in the last episode.
Time. Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, he's either helping people suicide or helping people not suicide.
Just keeping it even.
Yeah, that's right. For every life that he...
Give him one.
Nudges.
Yeah. Keep one.
That's funny.
He does run a celebrity death...
pool?
Pool, yeah.
Really?
Pool's the word I'm looking for, yeah.
That's weird.
So I think at the start of the year, he puts up a bunch of names and odds and stuff like that.
And odds. Wow. That's harsh.
Wow. Gotta do something to pass the time.
Hedge bets.
I don't know if you've seen this. It's going around. Imgur.
The kids are using the Imgur.
That's funny you should say that.
I'm not on the kids.
Because this is a 10-year-old girl who's doing stand-up.
No, I didn't mean that kids. But yes, also them.
Her name's Saffron Herndon, and obviously people are writing for her.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
I would imagine so. Like, the jokes are pretty sophisticated for a 10-year-old.
No.
But they're very funny.
Because there is I think he's 11 or 12-year-old male stand-up in the States who does his own stuff.
Okay, well, maybe she does.
It's not complex. It's clearly 11-year-old. Right. But it's pretty good. And he just got, casted on The Manny.
I don't know what that is.
The Manny is a reboot of the Nanny, but with a dude.
Oh, jeez.
But the main guy in it is Melbourne's own Monty Franklin, or Australia's own Monty Franklin. He may not be from Melbourne, but I know him. Monty Franklin from, have you seen him? Back in the day when we used to do Comics Lounge back in the day, he was always there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like a tall Aussie surfing looking dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the main guy in it.
Okay.
And one of the kids in it is this 11, 12-year-old stand-up.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's like, what's his face? The prodigy piano player who was cast in... He's just testing me. He was in a TV show.
Australian?
No, not Australian.
Okay. Prodigy piano player?
Yeah. Hang on. Let's Google him.
Asian?
No.
Just asking. You know me.
I do know you.
And I know that you're racist. Wife and Kids. The little dude from Wife and Kids. Yeah,
him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like him.
Yeah, he just, like that.
Has talent and they chucked him in there for no reason.
Okay. But this is a comedy kid doing a comedy show. It's not that, like, bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's less bizarre.
Yes, less bizarre. Like, they needed a kid who could do comedy lines and he does a stand-up. So, if the main guy's a stand-up, there's no reason why one of the kids can't be a stand-up.
Outrageous. There's only room for one stand-up in any TV show.
Yeah, that's funny.
Right, so here's one of this girl Saffron's jokes, right?
Saffron?
Saffron. I assume it's pronounced. The 10-year-old? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a 10-year-old wouldn't have this knowledge.
Maybe, yeah.
So, I told my dad I wish Kurt Cobain had waited 20 more years before killing himself so I could have at least seen him in concert. My dad said, why didn't you just wish he didn't kill himself? Psh, yeah, Dad. And then not have the Foo Fighters?
That's fair enough.
Look, I don't think she would have that sort of musical knowledge, that musical history.
No, I'd buy like that. That
information I'd would be that. Fed to her.
Yeah, the information is, but she could have written that joke.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying she couldn't have written it. Right, you know, like people are helping you. People are giving you ideas and crafting stuff. Like,
I just reckon she knows those things, and that's it.
Maybe because she's got one. Yeah,
10-year-olds are a lot more savvy than you think they are these days.
10-year-olds, I know how savvy they are. Online dating is tough. Every time I meet someone new, they end up in jail.
Oh, wow.
See?
That's funny.
Like, that's really funny. I like that joke.
Yeah. Someone's helping her.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's nuanced in a way that a 10-year-old doesn't work.
No, well, obviously she's doing it because she's funny. So maybe she's funny. Someone's just helping her craft the jokes. But maybe she's coming up with some of these concepts. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'd like to know.
They're not too sophisticated. Like, they're not like, you know.
Well, it's just more credit than I would give your average 10-year-old.
Well, she's obviously not if she can do stand-up bravely as a 10-year-old. Like, she's not your average 10-year-old, yeah. Especially because we've grown up in an era. She's probably watching stand-up since she was a kid, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So she knows how to speak it.
Yeah, that's you true. There's a tempo and rhythm.
Yeah, a language. Thing. Yeah. Mm. So if she's like into it, like a songs, like a muso is into it, and at 10 years old they can sing like Mariah, then she's just emulating, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but even her whole look is like constructed. She's got like Nirvana t-shirts. And
right.
Like, she has a... I imagine she's quite droll. And she's like
a... She's like a Janine Garofalo.
Yeah.
Like a mini Janine Garofalo.
I imagine she would be.
That's cool. But yeah, and then this dude, I haven't heard his gear, but I know that he's a stand-up at 11 or whatever.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, it makes you a...
Because it's now a solidified thing that you can want to be when you grow up.
Yeah, yeah. It's a career option.
Yeah, like I want to be a singer. I want to be a dancer. Mm. And stand-up is one of those things now. So,
Well, especially if you're in the States where they've got such a well-structured support. Culture. I guess. I was going to say support system. Yeah, but it's not really a support system. You still got to
make it. The culture's there. It's relevant. People know stand-up. There's a stand-up on every late-night show. They're all stand-ups. Yeah. You know, like, so it's a thing.
Like 50 cities and they've all got their own major club or two.
Yeah.
Whereas here, we've got one in Melbourne. One in Perth.
As in a seven-nighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got rooms.
We've got rooms, sure.
It's a different culture.
Ours
is more like the British setup. But yeah, it's over there they can aim to be it. So I wouldn't be surprised that by 10, 11, 12, they're just like, I know this, or to a good enough level.
Yeah.
Because they've just been watching it and heroizing these people. Like us growing up, we only had maybe a handful of guys that you could
have get access your hands to their on material. Raw.
Yeah.
If you had like a
VHS.
Yeah.
Some guy like who some, cut VHS, had
VHS tape of it.
Some, maybe some Richard Pryor stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was only a handful of stuff. But them growing up now with the YouTube and that, they can watch stand up all day if they want.
Mm.
So that's cool. But yeah, she's cute. She looks cute. That's a good line about the jelly.
Yeah, no, it made me laugh. That's what sold me on her set. I was just like, all right,
let's
look at the rest of this.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
It's tough because I can't have a go at her either and go, you can't make fun of child, whatever. It's like, but that's me. I'm allowed to make fun of her. Talk about me.
Be curious to see someone try and heckle her.
Yeah.
It would be a weird bullying.
Yeah, you can't heckle a child. That's awesome. You're not funny. I'm sorry. You're very funny. You're the best girl ever. I mean, I break down cry when I get heckled too, but no one cares.
Yeah, no. It's not as adorable.
You're not funny. Get off stage.
People get angry at your pedophile bits.
Yeah. It was the deal with trying to date underages. It's so hard. Boo. Oh, but when the girls does it, it's hilarious.
You're right to boo.
Double stairs is bullcrap. It's good to know that it's a girl too, so she's growing up knowing that there are funny girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's nice to sort of see her be influenced to step foot into such a male-dominated field.
And I think people like Tina and Amy and Amy Schumer and people like that have done a good job of making girls feel like that's an avenue for them that they can do.
No, I'd be interested to chat to her parents about...
Yeah. What they listen to and what like they've put her around.
How they got her
that
way. That sounds wrong.
How is she like this?
What have you done to her? Yeah, like what they exposed her to.
Because the first thing you ask any even hip hop artist is what was playing in your house growing up. You know, so but it's not always hip hop, but
I think stand up
is gonna be different. I'd say there was stand up. I was watching a lot of horror movies, but
you know, you could just watch a lot of really shit films and be like, things are funny.
Yeah, she watched a lot of rom-coms and went, I could do this better.
Yeah, I'm funnier than these people. Oh, all right.
Alrighty.
Let's do it.
This is the show and tell part. Or the tell. Hear and tell.
Hear and tell. Speak and spell.
Speak and spell.
Do you want to go first?
Okay.
Who do you want?
All right. We will go Bamford first.
Bamford. Solid choice.
All right. So, I brought in 3 comics. All women, because last week I did all men just...
Because you're sexist.
Well, I just did, just because I picked sort of 3 main bits and it just happened to be all men.
It happened to me.
That was pointed out to me and I went, well, that's not indicative of my stand-up listening, you know,
so how now you're backpedaling.
How I roll.
Severely.
I definitely listen to women stand-ups a lot because there's very many funny ones. And so this week I brought in 3 women just to make it up. So now I'm even.
Compensation?
Yeah, equality. Oh, gender equality. but they are all white. That's it. 3 black women next week. No, okay. The first one is Maria Bamford. I know her via stuff like she's on Louis, she's on Comedy Central, she had done a lot of stuff with Jim Gaffigan. She's been around. She's cool. Always entertaining. But this one bit is my favorite bit of hers. Is my the bit I think about when I think of her, because it's a bit where she sort of just mocks the normal tropes and normal cliches of a female comic. And if you know anything about Mary Bamford, her other stuff, you know she stands against all that. So it's very funny to see how her mind works when she does. The mock bit, and it's just very funny. And so, roll the tape.
Let's get back to me and my problems. Oh, you guys, sometimes I do the road across our great nation, and I am my act doesn't always go well. So I try to prepare a portion of my act that I think generically does well with most people, but something that doesn't sell out my own creative vision. So I will do a piece of that shtick for you at this time. Helps me survive the comedy club scene.
Guys, ladies, when we are dating, we have a system, don't we?
We do, we have a system, we do!
Here's my system. First date, kiss on the cheek. Second date, we can make out. Third date, if he buys me shoes and chocolate, he can get keys to my apartment and he can go through the back door. Inside, I'm a husk. I can't feel my hands. I am writing a book. It is called Men Are From Mars and Women Want Their Penis. Am I right? I don't feel good. I don't feel well. This is the greatest job in the world. In the greatest country in the world. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave? I'll be selling my t-shirts outside. They say, skinny bitch, because that's what I am. Or the land of the free. I'm trapped. And the home of the brave. And if you really want to get to know me, I'll be back at the Comfort Inn and Suites, the intersection of the 2, the 210, and the 110-2, making crosshatch patterns into my arm with a curling iron. Long sleeves, am I right? Long sleeves!
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. Very funny.
She is fantastic normally. Yeah. She generally speaks about her own mental health issues, and she strays very far from that sort of stereotypical.
That's right. Yeah.
Like even her voice,
the voice she puts on,
shift in voice is fantastic for that.
Yeah, so good, and it does sound like the voice she goes into does sound like every other female or all the middle of the road ones. Yeah, you're like, what the hell?
Landing in this really delicate spot where you've picked a bit where there's a female comic making fun of female comics, and you're like, yeah.
It's more like
a female comic.
Yeah, because it's more like absolutely, and I don't shirk from that. What I'm saying is, do you see how it could be like?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's like see how it can be crap as well, but see how it can be very funny. And she's, the other two will show you how it's done correctly.
It's done correctly.
And even that's done correctly because it's mocking how not to do it. Yeah. Because I fear, and this is a societal, this is not a stand-up thing, but it's like they have an expectation of what we want to hear. Some female comics have an expectation of what we want to hear. So they go there just because they churn out the same old shtick because they think that's what we want to hear,
The easy way, the easy laughs.
And they think that's what, and it's, she's just showing you, well, she shows you with her normal stuff that that's not what you have to do. And that bit is just showing you how, like, stupid and easy
I think it's sort of like a, I can do this, I'll show you that I can do this.
Exactly, I can do this.
But I'll show you what this actually is, what this means.
So it's a ripper bit.
A nice breakdown of those ideals.
And because there's also male comedians who have done cliche bits, as jokes, they do the whole, all right, I'll show you how it's done cliche-wise, because we know our cliches too, we have cliches. So there'll be a guy who's like, what's the deal with, whatever, so.
Stick it in your dick.
Yeah, dick, yeah. Stop.
Fun. Right, my first one. Because it's my post-fringe reflections type show, I also went majoritively female because it sort of reflected my choices in Fringe this year, which wasn't a conscious thing. It was more that they had the most interesting concepts or that I stumbled across them and someone sold me on it in a way that it sounded sort of more interesting than some of the other things. And I don't think that that's particularly indicative of anything, but it is something that I caught myself on and thought was interesting. So I thought it would reflect that in my choices this episode. And all my performers are Australian. So it's a nice little, I'll bring all Australians in. But this first one is one we're both quite familiar with. Celia Pakola.
Yay.
CPAC.
CPAC Shakur.
And she...
CPACalypse now.
Has done...
Strictly For My Niggas. Oh, wait, that's a CPAC reference, but... No, it's gonna be...
She's done a lot of festivals. She's done a lot of shows. She...
Smashing it.
Yeah, she lives in the UK at the moment.
I think it's part-time. Yeah, I think it's a part-time.
Yeah, like possibly, because she does Utopia.
Because she does Utopia and a whole bunch of stuff. I saw her at Comic Sans. Have we spoken about this on anything? Medium? No?
We've definitely spoken about it. It may have been.
Did I just saw her at the Comic Sans? I don't think on... I think I was about to the last time we recorded one of these.
Right.
So, yeah, I saw her at the Comic Sans. Man, she's the best. She's so good. There's just something about it. She's so personable. It just sounds like, and this is stuff they used to say about me and others, is that it feels like you're just sort of chatting just to them. Yeah. They have the ability to make a large room feel like it's just you and one on one talking. And she's definitely like that. And just funny, sharp, just brilliant. She was really good at the Comic Sans. I took my guys, two of my friends, and they really loved it. It was really good.
Solid education.
Yeah.
I saw her open for John Oliver.
Right, yep.
And prior to that, I saw her do some warm-up spots because she was just sort of figuring her material out, that sort of stuff. So it was good to see both of those.
Yeah, right.
The prior the incarnation two and then where she landed and what she went with.
Yep.
But she's great. She's just really a strong performer. She is. And not that she needs the help, but it's good for... any of our Australian listeners to support local.
Yeah, Logie winning award winner Celia Pakola. Yeah. Go out and help her out. No, but do if you do so. But just she doesn't need us to tell you to do that.
No, not at all. But let's pop this on. This is from, this is a good bit. Actually, I really enjoyed this from a spot that she did on Russell Howard's Good News.
Okay.
A fair while back. I'm just going to play it. Just know. Yeah, need anything else.
The thing is, because I'm not from here, I do feel slightly culturally obligated to be a little bit educational, you know, a little bit informative, and maybe tell you something important that you might not know about my country. So, Risty is Australian for a hand job. You're welcome. It's just an excellent word. It's a really great word, and I couldn't believe you didn't have it here. Like, it should belong to the world. I've never had a mission in life before, and now I do. It's this. I tell everyone. Like, I seriously do it at every single gig I do. Even if I'm just buying a coffee, I'm like, what's that, £2? Thanks, Risty's a hand job. See you later. I tell everyone. And the best response I've ever got from it was at a gig once, and there was an English guy in the crowd. And what was so beautiful about this is he obviously didn't mean to say it, okay? This just escaped out his mouth, right? I said, Risty is Australian for a hand job. And at the back of the room, I just heard this little quiet voice go, of course. I think it's a wonderful word. Risty, it's kind of playful and fun, isn't it? It's like, Risty, hey, Risty, you know. It's kind of like a friend you haven't seen in a while, you know. It's like, ah, Risty, what are you doing here? Pleasuring me, okay. You're the best, you know, like hand job. It's very serious, isn't it? No, hand job. It's an occupation, really, isn't it? I got a hand job. I don't know how that happened. I don't know if one day someone just looked at a flaccid penis and went, this is a job! For hands. Now, I don't want to take credit for Risty. I didn't make it up, but I've never heard it anywhere other than Australia. But it is give and take, because I'm happy to share Risty's with all of you. And yes, I know what I said. But you should know that since I've been living in your lovely nation, you excellent people have taught me the word bellend. So, thank you enough. Yeah, you deserve it. You deserve it. And I'm trying to fit in, you know, but you people don't make it easy for us sometimes. Like, the biggest cultural shock I've had since being here, which to all of you is perfectly normal, and you have no idea how messed up this sounds to someone who's not from here, okay? I was having a cup of tea with an English friend of mine, and she said to me, do you want a penguin? And I was like, well, yeah. Who doesn't? They're adorable. I mean, they're like, where did you get it? Do the zoos sell them now? I mean, I don't know how to take care of it. I mean, it's a bird, you know, but does it go in a cage or like in the bathtub? And they look like you need to oil them. Do you oil them? Like, they seem kind of oily. Mind you, I could, like, put a little bow tie on him and make some pretty sweet YouTube videos. So. Yeah, stop it, I will have a penguin. Yeah, go on, I will. And she said, no, you idiot. A penguin's a biscuit. And I was like, oh, how stupid of me to confuse something with what it is. I'm doing that all the time. When you said penguin, I should have known that you meant biscuit and not, you know, a penguin. And she goes, don't worry about it, let's not fight anymore. I'm like, yeah, you're right, let's not fight. I brought some cake, would you like some cake? And she said, yes. And then I threw a spider in her face. And she's like, fucking Jesus, where did you throw a spider at me from? And I was like, oh, you idiot. In Australia, cake is a spider. I just assumed you'd know that. I just thought it bit me. I'm like, Jesus, did it bite you? They're poisonous. Need the antidote. Do you want the antidote? She's like, yes, give me the antidote. I'm like, you sure you want the antidote? She's like, yes, give me the antidote. And then I shot her in the kneecap. And she's like, oh, what did you shoot her in the kneecap for? And I was like, oh, I don't like you. And you know, then I got out of there because that cup of tea escalated very quickly into murder. I'm quite scared of getting murdered. Oh, really? Duh. I'm scared of getting mugged as well. Not so much scared is that it would be annoying. You know, like, I like my stuff and I want to keep it, right? So I hatched a plan. Yeah. In my bag, I have two wallets. I have a real wallet, real money, real cards, and I have a fake wallet. fake money, fake cards. A decoy wallet, if you will. So if I get mugged, mugger's going to get fake wallet, and when they open it, there's going to be a note. Well, what I want to do is, you know how you can get those birthday cards where you can record a voice message? So when mugger opens fake wallet, they're going to hear my voice going, ha 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 ha, you bell end. Yeah. I do go back every now and then back to Australia. My favourite thing about going back, which doesn't happen every time, but happened the last time I went back, which was after 25 hours in the sky, right? I landed in Melbourne Airport and I went up to the customs man with my form and I gave him my form and he looked at the form and he looked at me and he said, "Welcome home." Now, I don't know if they pay them to say that, but jeez, I was this close to climbing over the counter, jumping into his arms and giving him a wristy. I swear. I know it feels a bit weird when I talk about it, about sort of sexual stuff, because it doesn't suit me. It doesn't suit me. I'm not a sexual person. You know, some people are, you know, are sort of, oh, yeah, I'm a sexual, oh, I'm just a sexual person, you know. Hey, you know, like sexuality is fluid and, you know, I'm a puddle, so... stuff is so funny, right? I find it really funny rather than sexy. Like, I saw on the front cover of a women's magazine, okay, one of their top stories was what he really thinks of your orgasm noise. What he really thinks of, which suggests there was something we thought he thought about it. That's not what he really thinks. He thinks something else and he's keeping it from us, what he really thinks of your orgasm. I'm like, I don't think they give a shit. Do you? I don't think you care. I don't think guys give a shit in the world what your orgasm noise is ever.
Yeah, yeah. CFAX the best. That's funny.
Yeah, it's a fun bit.
Well, the best bit of the Comic Sans thing was it was like a best of. Like
right.
She just did her best bits for like 15, not even more even, yeah, just the best stuff. So there's some stuff I'd heard, and yeah, you're just like, that's funny. And then some stuff you didn't really, like, but like even the stuff you've heard, you just want to hear it anyway. It's almost like requests at a concert, you want to hear the classics with her. Like, whereas it counts for that for every stand-up. Sometimes you hear a stand-up, you're like, all right, we know this bit, whatever. But you can hear her bits over and over again. She's lovely. Good stuff.
Tis
good choice.
Thanks.
What year was that one for? I mean, she's been doing that bit for a while, but...
Yeah, this video says 2011.
Okay, yeah, I'd say that's probably the first incarnation of those bits. Yeah. That's cool.
Let's roll in.
Yeah, yeah.
Roll on.
Okay. Who am I doing next?
Yeah, are you doing next?
Let's what? Do... let's do Tig Notaro.
Tig. Tig. She doesn't like
me. Yeah, no, she doesn't like me. She wouldn't do me.
Okay.
The preamble is just... It's simply that Tig Notaro is probably one of the best female comics of all time. Amazing. Every time I see her, I'm like, this is brilliant. Even an amazing woman to have gone through what she has recently... with her illness and to still be amazing boss. And this is my first memory of her, is this bit, or at least early memory of her, is this bit, and it's still just classic. It's one of the best stand-up bits in general, let alone from her, but it's awesome.
I did some shows in Mexico, and like everywhere I go, as soon as I check into my hotel room, I immediately hang the do not disturb sign on the door. Or for the Spanish speaking, no moleste. That was kind of a creepy feeling, hanging that on my door before bed. Nope. No moleste. Not tonight. A couple doors down. And actually, after I did that joke one night in Omaha, this guy came up to me and he's like, just so you know, I'm a Spanish interpreter, and moleste means to annoy or bother. Yeah. I know. No moleste. So he thought that I thought there were sexual predators running up and down the halls of the resort where I was staying, and that all the management decided to do, instead of springing for some security, was just to run down to the local Kinko's and run off some shoddy, low-rent sign that just said, no moleste. So like you're in your room at night, someone's banging on the door, trying to beat the door down, and you're like, no moleste. And he's like, oh, sorry. Sign was turned the wrong way. It said, see moleste. Oh, okay, cool. Could you just turn that around for me, creepy?
Classic stuff.
It's a great bit.
Yeah, isn't it? It's classic.
And when I was traveling the States, I did see a couple of
no moleste.
And you can't help but think, like, it creeps in.
That's right.
And you're just like, yeah, that's it's a stayer.
It's that's how you know a good stand-up bit, when you're just walking around. You see, it's like Mitch Hedberg's broken down escalators. Every time you see a broken down escalator, it's like, it is not out of order. It has become stairs. So that's how you know a good stand-up bit. But it keeps coming back. But yeah, she's brilliant.
Well, right, I'm going to roll through into my second one. So, my second one, I think I'm going to play Damien Power. I really like this bit. This is a really strong bit, which obviously is why I chose it. I wanted to see Damien in the festival. He was one of the people that I wanted to check out. It just didn't turn out that way through time and everything. And I don't remember how long his show run was, but a lot of people were doing shorter runs this year.
Okay.
Like a week, 2 weeks, rather than a full festival run.
Okay.
Which was interesting. And I don't know what to make of that, except that it was terribly inconvenient and don't ever do it again. Or do what you want.
This is the guy who did one show. Yeah, that's funny. Shortest run you could possibly do.
One. Right, yeah. But this is a great bit. Okay. I've just got to...
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things you will notice as travelling as an Australian is that people say we're laid back. Well, you know, there's a perception we're laid back. We think that about ourselves. I couldn't disagree more. We're not laid back, are we? We're the most uptight people I have ever come across in all my travels around the world. Australians are the most rule-following... when I think of Australians, like, they're the fucking rules, mate. You line up here, there's a permit, there's a line. Don't go there, mate. Where's your helmet? Don't smoke over there. I'm an Australian, you walk over here, you stay there, mate. I'm in this bit, are you over there? Yeah, they're the rules, mate, over here. Australians, mate. Well, oh, excuse me, mate. Yep, nah, yeah. I went to Brazil. I grew up at the beach in Australia. I went to the beach in Brazil. It was alive. People were singing and dancing. They had drums. They had bonfires. People I didn't even know coming to me going, hey, man, here's a drink, man. Come to the party, man. Imagine going up to an Australian on a beach, building a bonfire next to him, dancing with drums and shit, going, hey man, how you going? Here's a drink, come to the party. They'd be like, what the fuck, mate? Mate, this is my bit. Your bit's over there, mate. That's why I've got my towel. That's my bit. We colonised the country, so we put all of our little bits. Your bit's over there. Also, you can't park there longer than 4 hours. You can't grow your grass above a certain length without council approval. If you own a small business, you go up a ladder, you need a certificate to go above a certain height. You can't swear in public, not allowed to smoke near buildings. You can't drink on the beach. Don't touch me. Other than that, we're laid back. You want to go somewhere really laid back, man? Go to Thailand. That's laid back. I had a magic mushroom milkshake on the beach. It's pretty chilled out, isn't it? Can't even walk your dog on the beach in this country, let alone take magic mushrooms and talk to it. Hey there, buddy. I don't understand time. Some of the mushroom users laughing at that harder than others. As they should. Another great thing about being Australian going overseas, you'll get this a lot. Oh, you're Australian, you're racist. We're not all racist, are we, ladies and gentlemen? That's racist. Oh, I'd like to share my opinions with race, and I know you're dying to hear them. Me being a white Australian middle-class male, let's hear your opinion on something. We haven't heard that. And I will. I will tell you my opinion, because that is a tradition of my people. As has been for generations. I've been to Africa, Europe, Asia, and America. I've been a lot of places, and what I've learned is that racism happens the most wherever there are people. Yeah. And Asians. They're the two. That's obviously steeped in irony. It's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. He's a little bit uneasy because he's Asian. But no, he's not. No, steeped in irony, that bit. But one of the reasons, obviously, we have this stereotype is, you know, well, the international media loves the story on Australian racism. They really do. You notice that when you travel. They love it. Like recently, a Korean man was robbed in Sydney. It was a one-off attack, but the Korean media blew it up to be this massive story that Australian racists were targeting Koreans, which is ridiculous, obviously, because racists can't tell the difference between Koreans and Chinese. That's the whole point. You know what I mean? Well, that's the point of being a racist. There's no racism. We had the Koreans this week, mate. Which ones are they? I don't know. That's why I got into racism, mate. So I don't have to fucking think. I don't want to have Venn diagrams and shit, mate. I just want to hate. It's hard to imagine an Australian racist actually going to the trouble of understanding the physical and cultural differences between different Asian nationalities and then still being racist. You know what I mean? Like, there's a racist out there right now going, what are you up to, mate? Oh, I'm researching a bit of Korean culture. Oh, wow, look at that, mate. They've got pottery that dates back to 8,000 BC. It's incredible. Yeah. Yeah, you fucking early pottery cunts. I'll kill you. You fucking wood pottery early. Typical. You pottery early. What are you doing for the economy? Anyway, guys, it's a good note to end on. I think every comedy set should end on early pottery cunts. Thanks for coming to me, Damien Powell. Thank you.
Yeah, early pottery cunts.
That'll teach him.
That's mad. That's funny. He's good. I like him.
Yeah,
I've not seen much of him, but that's good.
Yeah. No, he pops in and out every so often. I don't see him, his name anyway, too often around the Melbourne scene, but every so often it pops up. And he's definitely worth checking out.
That's cool.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I'm punching the room. We've only got one more each.
Okay.
And go through your last one.
Cristela, yeah.
Cristela.
We saw her earlier this year at Headliners.
We did. Which
was only like, say, a year or 6 months after I'd even heard of her anyway. Because she had been given a sitcom. I was like, who's this chick who's been given a sitcom? I looked into her and I'm like, yeah, give her a sitcom. Very funny. Mm. My favorite story is that she grew up on a border town in Texas.
Yep.
In an abandoned diner.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because they're illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And they were very poor, obviously, didn't have anything. So lived in an abandoned diner that had the power switched off and everything. The mum would work all day, whatever, come home and cook dinner for the kids on a space heater that was turned, like, you know, upright and just use a pan on the space heater.
Crazy.
That's how she lived for like the first, you know, whatever, 10 years of it. Oh, no, I don't know, 10 years, but yeah.
Makes for good stand-up.
Makes for a great, it makes for a real humble human, you know, a real great human.
Yeah.
She's going to get sitcoms or whatever, but she's going to just be humble and appreciative of everything. Mm. So, beautiful woman, and her stand-up reflects that, just lovely, warm, and very funny.
Yeah, yeah, no. We'll play this, and then we can chat.
Yeah.
Excited to be here, guys. No big deal. I just lost over 60 pounds. Like, I know. All I had to do was change my weight to the metric system, and I nailed it. You don't have to exercise. It's awesome. I've been trying to get in shape, and it's so hard, and it's also so expensive to get into shape. Workout clothes are so expensive. Like, am I gonna sweat in them or get married in them? Why are they so much money? I went to this expensive workout store called Lululemon. Exactly. Guess what I found out? I'm too fat to fit into their workout clothes. I have to lose 30 pounds before I can work out in their stupid clothes. But I didn't want to leave the store without buying anything, so I went around. I was getting very desperate. I'm like, do you have headbands, key rings, what, like keychains, what? I finally found a sports bra that kind of fit, right? Kinda. I looked at the tag, it was $50. I was like, $50? Dude, that's outrageous, man. $50 is so much money when I can just go to Home Depot and hire a day laborer to hold them up for $10 while I go jog. I'm like, come on, Pepe. Come on, we're doing this. Dose me, yes. Come on. Squeeze them, I need support. I can talk about day laborers. I'm Latina. Unless you hate Latinos, then I'm Indian. And if you hate Indians and Latinos, God, you're racist. It's been a hard couple of years for Latinos. Past couple of years, we keep talking about immigration, and they always talk about what a big immigration problem we have, you know? And that might be true. But have you ever noticed that every time they talk about immigration, they always show pictures of people that look like me? I mean, last time I checked, there were two countries that bordered the United States, and I never see any border patrol looking for illegal Canadians anywhere I go. You know, like, you never go up to the guy, hey, you with the hockey jersey. Yeah, you listening to Celine Dion. Where the hell are your papers, Trevor? And I get it. People want to come to this country. We have it pretty good here. We have so many luxuries, you know? I mean, we're at the point where we actually care about what kind of life our food had before we killed it and ate it. You go to the grocery store, they want to tell you how the backstory of every food, you know? And this milk was hormone-free. This beef was grass-fed. This chicken was cage-free. Dude, these animals had a better childhood than I did. I went to public school. I had bars on my window, but this chicken is cage-free. Okay, all right. I mean, this meat is so expensive. I have to pay for the hobbies the chicken had when it was alive. Oh, well, this chicken's delicious. It's $12 a pound because it played the cello and liked to surf. Sounds like an amazing chicken. Why are we killing it? I mean, if I had a choice to eat something that had a privileged life, screw that, I'd eat a Kardashian. Amazing. I recently had a birthday, and I realized, guys, that I'm at that age where the only way I can get into a nightclub is by telling the door guy that I'm looking for my underage daughter. But then I realized I have to pretend to look for the girl the entire night. I'm like, hey, where's Stephanie? I don't know where she's at. She's not down here. What's up? Thank you, guys. My name is Christelle.
Yeah. I love her. That's funny stuff.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
Such a wonderful sense of her upbringing. And it sort of reads, particularly in some of those bits where she's, you know, talking about the upbringing of the child,
herself compared to chickens.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And she's just warm. Like, she's just, she's like a girl you just want to chill with, like, hang with, and just, yeah, it's just cool.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Cool. Well, I have one last piece. Piece. Geek.
Item.
Geek's not right. We'll stick with piece.
Item to present.
Item, yeah. And my final one, who I've already spoken about a little bit, is Laura Davis. Mm-hmm. This is a spot of hers from the ABC show Stand Up at Bella Union. I'm just going to play it, mm-hmm. and we can chat afterwards.
I don't know. I had to quit my job when I moved here. I had to quit my job. I used to work with kids. I really liked it. I used to work... Don't laugh at that. I got checked. They checked me. They made me get a card and stuff. It was fine. It's fine. I used to work in after-school care. I used to work... basically, my job was to ride around on a school bus and pick up all of the kids whose parents didn't love them enough to work part-time. And... take them to like a central location and just kind of fill the void in their hearts as best as I could. And I liked it. I liked that job. I liked it a lot. But I did hate one kid. I did hate a kid. He was four and I hated a four-year-old. And I live with myself because of that. Like I never thought I'd be that person, but I hated him. I hated him so much. And he hated me. He hated him. It was fair. He hated me too. Once he told me that God hates me, He said that to me. He was on the bus and he was staring over the back of it. And he was kind of just staring at me, staring at me. He was like, what? What is it? What is it? He's like, Laura, have you ever kissed a boy? And I said, yes, because I did once. Oh, well, you can't do that. Now God hates you. And he smiled like he was a bit happy about it. Something like he smiled like he knew it. And it was like, no, you don't know that. And you can't. Like, he's four. He shouldn't have a concept of a God who could hate anyone. He shouldn't know what hate is. He's going, no, 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 no. You're the red-headed kid with two S's in his name and a lisp. I think you'll find God hates you. He hates you, and so do parents, which is why I'm picking you up from school, okay? Shut up. Shut up. I won that battle of wits. I won it. I won it. Totally got it.
That was good. I wanted more of that. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. There is more of her
right.
in the episode, okay. just not no, that was sequentially.
Good. Great bit.
Yeah.
She's lovely.
She's very funny. She's good.
That's not who I thought you were talking about.
No?
I don't know that person.
You don't know that. Who did you think? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't know
thought?
Who that is.
No, like who you thought you were talking about.
No, I thought you were talking about, I don't know that girl's name, but she's like small... petite, and she's got like a Bieber comb over. She's from Perth or something. I don't know. That's not what I thought.
Well, Laura Davis is from Perth.
Yeah, that's why I think that was getting confused. This person, I think, is also from Perth. Bieber.
Small and Bieber describes Demi Lardner.
Nah, I know Demi.
Yeah.
This girl is Demi-esque.
Demi-esque.
Which I thought you were talking about. But that girl's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's good. She's got a bit... That's, I think, in that episode. Maybe it's in one of the other episodes where she talks about the sexual dimorphism of seahorses with relation to loneliness. It's very funny.
How they can become either sex.
Well, yeah, they mate for life. And then
seahorses?
Apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, and then when one dies, they float around and they're lonely.
Oh, wow.
Forever.
Because they also do that thing where they can change sexes.
I don't know. The males carry the babies. Male seahorses.
Yeah.
But I don't think they change.
Yeah.
Do they? No, clownfish
like
do.
If they're in a school where the numbers are odd,
I don't know if
the numbers just change. Like they're like, oh, there's too many dudes. So the extra dudes just change.
That. Let's look this up.
I think that's a seahorse thing. Because I'm like, that'd be sick.
Would it though?
Yeah, there's not enough girls to get into this club.
Change gender. I wonder about that though, like the animals changing sex and how conscious it is as a thing.
Yeah, well, they do it just, to even numbers, yeah, but if mating just, numbers.
Like, if the animal's just like, I'll take care, I've got us fellas.
Okay.
I've got this.
Yeah, right. Or if it's, I don't know.
If it just happens. And they're sort of, they're not conscious enough to even realize that they've changed sex.
We just paused because we're both reading.
Yeah. That sounds to me like
this. It's depending on the species.
What's that?
Depending on the species. Mouse can give birth for that.
Cryptilla is a sequential hermaphrodite during the same course of life.
So this is not...
This level.
This is just about 10 ocean species that change their gender or stereotypes.
Ah. Ah, okay.
So that those two pieces of information are about different, two different creatures.
Okay, okay. Man, I was so sure of this.
Seahorse Wikipedia.
Write in. Tell us. If we have any marine biologists. Do seahorses change sex? I was pretty sure that's the thing that I thought I knew.
The males carry the eggs? The
males do carry the eggs. Oh, maybe that's all I know about them.
Once the young are released into the water, the male's role is done, and he offers no further care and often mates again within hours or days during the breeding season.
So true. Isn't that true? That's the life.
But you know what? I feel like...
That's real life.
More females would be okay with that if we had to carry to term the babies.
Yeah, just give you the baby we fuck off, but we didn't have to carry it? Yeah. No, I think that they wouldn't like that. I was fucking off fun.
No, it's not likely.
Because, yeah, okay, fair enough. And normally breed again within hours. Alrighty. Sexual role reversal. Questions surrounding reproductive roles.
Sexual role reversal, though.
That's just some
has to
shit.
Do with carrying the X, though.
Okay.
It's the reverse of the sex.
Okay, so maybe they don't change sex. I thought they changed sex to even numbers if the school they're in was head off. I don't know. I think that is a thing. I think if we read about it, that is a thing.
If we had read about it, it would possibly be, but we didn't. We read other things.
I think if we read more about it, we'll come across that piece of information, because I'm pretty certain about that. That's not something that I...
You've got a month.
I've got a month? Okay, got a month. Cool. I'll bring it back for hear and tell. I'll put it up on the Twitter, on the tweets. Oh,
yeah, social media.
Oh, yeah, that's everyone.
That is, yeah, that's all of them. That's
that
done.
Was cool. That was so, there's some stuff in that for years. Some mucho funo stuff.
Yeah, if you take nothing else away from this, know that the Fringe Festival exists and that I do shows in it pretty much every year.
Yeah.
And you should come and see me.
And that people do.
Yeah, and that other people do as well.
And if you take anything away from this, it's that no moleste.
No moleste.
And I think that's a good thing to live on. A good rule to live on. So, yeah, I mean, the point that we do this is so you guys can get into it and go, oh, who's that? I like that person, and look further into it and then get into these guys. Mm-hmm. So if you've liked anything, just have a Google.
Yeah, get them online, have a look around.
It's all pretty easy stuff to find. We find it online too, so it's all there.
Some of the local ones are a bit harder because they don't have as much stuff out, but that just means
you have to get out of your ass.
Get off your ass and go see some live stand-up.
Correct.
And there are plenty of rooms.
Plenty of rooms.
Plenty of rooms.
And we're hoping to have guests on, other Melbourne comics on, to share some stuff with us.
Mm.
So perhaps next time there'll be a third voice.
Yeah, possibly.
And that'll be fun.
Look into it. See, we've done a couple of these now.
And we just filmed a mattress talk. If you found this entertaining. It's much like this, but with a visual medium.
With less specific drives.
Yeah, just general rambles. Content. Correct.
So if you feel that we work under structure, then...
You should see us ramble. So basically all our mediums are just me and Maddie talking.
Yeah, it's like an... hour of the seahorse talk.
That's right. Yeah, we just did seahorse about an hour of that. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Follow us on all the mediums.
Yeah, I'm at Matt Harvey Stuff.
Yeah. Marty at a lols on the tweets. We're all under our names on the faces. And feedback welcome if you want to write under where you're listening to this. If you want to send us some messages, so
yeah, and we're on iTunes now, so you should rate us and leave some feedback because that would be nice, and that helps us rise in the ranks so that more people can hear us, so that more people can share this experience.
Share the love.
And you can, but even if you're the person who wants to be the cool person who's like, oh, I know about all these stand-ups and I'll tell you, don't be that person. Share the love.
Share this is what you do, right? You tell them about stand-ups and then you go, oh, but also these guys mentioned the stand-up that I was so already on before they mentioned it.
Yeah.
You can lie. We're okay with that.
We're perfectly okay with that.
You can be like, oh, I've been on this stand-up for ages. And if you want an example, here you go. These guys also spoke about it.
It's a good way to get around that.
You can maintain your indiness.
You're still
and help us out.
You can do both. Like a champion. Cool.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
Keep it funny.
And that was episode 2. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for staying through all the way to the end. We're going to end on a track by, I think, all the music in this episode has been by female artists, and that's sort of representative of the tone that we took with the episode. We both brought in a lot of female performers, and that's, you know, not to pander to them. It's just sometimes I feel like they don't get the representation that they deserve. There's a lot of great performers out there. Full disclosure, the song that we're going to end on is a friend of ours, but that doesn't mean that she's not a talented performer. You can find her on Triple J's Unearthed if you search for Yve Gold. That's Y-V-E, Gold, like Yves Saint Laurent, Yve Gold. Just thematically fit in with presenting new artists. So it's not that we're pandering to a friend. It's just thematically appropriate. Plus the song's pretty cool. So enjoy. Track is called Lioness.
Like a cat caught in the night, one simple answer, you'll be mine. I wanna surrender to your light, drop all defenses and run. When I'm thinking about what I'm grateful for, your name interplays my train of thought. I've been training for it, practicing for my cat king. I'll be your lioness, even high-ex. I'm about to reign supreme, highest flyer jets. Be mine tonight, we ride and die. I turn your crown to flying high. Every king need a queen in the kingdom. I'll stand by your side. Feeling heavy, I'll be strong enough to lift you. When you're ready, give the signal. You and I need matching crowns. Your force and gravity, I'ma hold you down. Like a cat caught in the night, one simple answer, you'll be mine. I wanna surrender to your light, drop all defenses and arrive. Lioness. My aura is thundress, I bought a sundress that hugs my hips and cat print. Come hunt it. You saw the pick and said it made you undress. You like it thick, I'm like a stack of hundreds. But let me be quite blunt with you. You wanna hit it? Well, I'd rather fall in love with you. I'll be your lioness, even higher yet. I'm about to reign supreme, get your fire wet. Be mine tonight, we ride and die. In my love and take you higher than supplying miles. I'll dry your eyes when times are trying. We're defying all the laws like the Lord on water. Thank the Lord, I'm yours. We're about to dive in. Hotter than